Coming up on this episode of The Break Room.
Is Professor Xavier really dead?
No.
Victor, what are your thoughts here? No? Not dead?
You wouldn't kill him off screen. Yeah, I agree completely. Like, it'd be such an odd move to be like, all right, we made sure it was clear he went to space at the end, but while we've been away, we waited and did it off screen.
Welcome back to The Break Room. X-Men 97 is here, and how good is this show? It's so good. We've got so many questions, and we're sure you do too, so let's dive right into it with some of our lingering questions from the first two episodes of X-Men 97. I'm Brandon Barrick. Joining me today, we got Hector Navarro.
Hi, hey, hello, hi. Thanks for having me.
We're happy to have you. And also here, Coy Jondro.
So excited to talk about X-Men.
Did you guys
immediately get Pizza Hut?
I didn't get immediately Pizza Hut. Hector and I were both at an event. You were at a different event when they had this.
I did.
They served Hot Pockets.
Yeah.
And cereal.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I had some cereal. No milk. Didn't do the milk. Didn't want to risk it.
I got milk. I was fine.
They had all types of milk.
Yeah.
They had the Hot Pockets, and I went, no, thank you.
I did not have the Hot Pockets.
Because even if you enjoy a Hot Pocket in the 90s. Now they're made of like completely different materials.
They're just chemicals.
My body is not able to handle that.
A sustainable diet.
The Hot Pocket diet.
Magneto's were good.
Oh
were
yeah, they, you liked yeah, those?
I liked them.
Were they Lucky Charms? They looked kind of like they
were like a Fruit Loop.
Oh okay.
All red, I think strawberry. Oh,
okay. I did a suicide. They had all these cereals. I was like, give me a little bit of each.
Yeah. The person asked me, did you want just one flavor? And I was like, yeah. Like I was like, I'm sorry, I'm not a psychopath. They were like, do you want me to put all three in the thing? I was like, no, just that.
Cut to Brandon. Like, is that a fourth flavor?
I walk up and I say, give me a suicide. And they're like, you can't say that anymore. We don't call it that.
You gotta call it the unalive cereal.
Yeah. I said, I just wanted my milk to be one flavor. I just want my milk pink. That's it. I didn't want the choco, the aftermath of the milk. That's also part of it. We're talking too much about the
cereal. That wraps up our lingering questions. Great work, everyone.
Lingering questions. What was the cereal?
We
want to talk about some lingering questions we had from this series. First up, we had some people in the comments, okay? I promise not to read the comments, but someone in the comments when we were talking about the first episode, they were saying, don't you know how Storm's powers work? First of all, I do. She controls the weather. She's the Omega level. She's the best one at it.
Yeah.
People are saying the storm in the desert, it wasn't glass she was walking on. It was ice. She made ice in the sand, and that's what she used to cut up all the Sentinels, and that's insane.
I want to say something, and I want to try to say it nicely.
Don't.
Okay? This is an example of an unearned, unchecked confidence that you should not have in your day-to-day.
Yes.
If you see somebody say something, and your immediate instinct is to be like, that is wrong, 100% wrong, and I know it is, no matter what, check yourself, do yourself a favor, Google it.
Yeah.
What happens to sand when it becomes superheated?
Yeah.
Just
the
look that up.
The same thing happens to anything.
Just look it up. Because that's a...
It happens in the desert.
Right.
Lightning will strike the sand and it will turn to glass.
I understand the notion that someone's like, but I know Storm, the comic book character, she's used her powers before and has like summoned a blizzard. Mm-hmm. And then there's like snow and blizzard stuff happening.
Yeah, yeah. She can do that.
But before you comment with like that kind of confidence, it reminds me of, do you guys remember the meme of that guy yelling at the other guy about Wizard of Oz? She came down in a bubble, dog.
Yeah.
You're gonna tell me she's... What does that make her?
She's the Wicked Witch of the East, dog!
Grow up!
It's her sister!
Grow up!
Like, that's why TikTok
I've watched that argument a lot of times. It doesn't make sense. Anyways.
But it's a great video. But you know why it doesn't? It's very funny.
Unchecked confidence.
It doesn't make sense?
Yeah.
Somebody interviewed that guy after that meme blew up. I don't know when, because this meme was from years ago. And that guy in some like Zoom interview was like, yeah, I was saying that stuff, and I'll be honest, I hadn't seen The Wizard of Oz in many years, and I was just like, F you, bro. You're the problem with everything that's wrong with the world.
This is people saying, Darth Vader says, Luke, I am your father. He never says that.
Steamrolls a conversation. I appreciate the passion, Doug, but like, dude, can you go and just check it? You have a computer in your phone.
Pull up the picture, Evan. Pull up the picture of Storm.
Pull up the glass.
Pull it up. Pull it up.
It's
boom.
Glass.
Lightning hitting sand, turning it, crystallized glass.
Because there's no storm clouds above. Right. They're only above. They're not amongst it. And there's no precipitation otherwise.
So I'm not trying to squash somebody's like
squash.
But look at the passion. Even the magma. Look at the there's even like the dripping of
they
the
thought about
being
this.
Formed.
They thought about it.
Glass.
Yes, they, exactly. They thought about
also,
it.
Also,
it's not thoughtless.
We know about glass. Glass is not a solid object. Okay, glass is constantly in motion. It's still moving. That's why when you go to an old timey house and you look through the windows and they got a little ripple to them, it's because the glass is slowly still moving.
That's so cool.
Glass is not a solid object.
I didn't know that either. Cool.
You check yourself.
I didn't.
We were receptive.
Exactly.
To knowledge. We receive new data. Thank you.
Like Ted Lasso says, be curious, not judgmental.
Yes. Yes.
I was open to that. You there learn you something new every day.
There you go.
I'm gonna assume it was a man who posted that comment. So just like do your gender better. Like be a better representative. Yeah. Double check
Let's
your stuff.
Let's all do our genders better.
Because it would be nothing better than a comment that would be like, you know, I was gonna say something. Yeah. I did not.
I thought it was
something.
Ice, but you guys opened.
You guys
opened
are right.
My eyes.
Thanks.
Glass.
Click.
Glass. Okay. Well, that about wraps up our show today.
Yeah,
that's
good day. All right. Glass.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. Okay. Well, we talked about this on the after show, which if you haven't watched that, please do already. Leave a like. Get on all your fake accounts that you used to write nasty comments with and go like the video. But one big thing that's kind of, I feel like everyone's still talking about, we still argue about it in the office, is Professor Xavier really dead? I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Koi,
no.
Victor, what are your thoughts here? No, not
you wouldn't
dead.
Kill him off screen.
Yeah,
so
I agree completely.
Like, it'd be such an odd move to be like, all right, we made sure it was clear he went to space at the end, but while we've been away, we waited and did it off screen when there's a plausible reason for not needing to do that. And it doesn't change that Cyclops would think he was dead. That's the whole point of the audience is supposed to have more knowledge than the characters on screen. That's what conflict is. Like, we need to understand those characters wouldn't know that while we are awares. I can't think of a single narrative reason why they would have killed him off screen.
Yeah.
I also think this is another case of like, are people, it's totally fine if not, haven't seen, rewatched freshly in the past few months.
Which, I think it's
or
fair.
Weeks, the final episode of season 5 of X-Men the Animated Series, I just watched it for the first time like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
A couple weeks before the premiere event. So it's so fresh. So this feels like that's what that's a case of. It's on Disney Plus. Just watch it. Like, pull it up and watch it.
Right.
And even that, if you hadn't seen it, had you not seen Eric Voss's breakdowns? Like, all the
it's only an
channels,
hour.
Right. Everybody's been talking about this and like what you need to know before. There's just a little bit of research that needs to be done to like confirm it. But no, he's not dead.
I think it is an interesting choice for the show narratively to not do a little weird, a little recap at the top.
Yeah,
or
I like that they saved the first previously on for episode 2.
Yeah.
And how was just episode 1?
Right.
I thought that was actually like refreshing. I was afraid.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the first episode felt like it was enough of a reminder of the elements we loved without being like a catch-up episode.
Yeah.
True.
Like, they didn't go through everything.
And I'm glad they played the first two at once because that first episode was very like, remember how much you love us. The second episode builds from there, and I think that was smart. But I think if we'd done too much of that plus a previously on, it would have felt kind of rote.
Yep.
And like there's little hints that time has passed since that
a year. Yeah.
That last episode, you know, Jean Grey's had at least 9 months.
At least.
We know it's 1997.
Yeah.
And when the death certificate arrives, the death date is
time of death.
11/11/96.
Yeah. So we know time passed.
What's that?
Was that the day the last episode aired?
No, I think the last episode did air in 1997.
Yeah.
Okay.
It did air in 1997. Yeah. And
that
date is Veterans Day, I believe.
Yeah, or some, was it Armistice Day?
Again, it's all
in the
day.
Eric Voss breakdown.
Yeah.
Just watch that on the new Rockstars channel if you haven't already.
I think they do want to surprise some of the audience who either never watched the original series or won't go back and check it out and be like, he's alive.
Here's the question. Charles Xavier, voiced by Ross Marquand, the real Charles, when is he going to show up?
They've already shown him.
Are we thinking, I mean, they've shown him in like flashbacks and morph form.
Late second act
of season
one. Of the show.
Yeah. Of the show?
Yeah.
Not like a season one cliffhanger?
I'd say like the third act will involve him coming and either repairing things or how he's going to take on the new responsibilities in the world that's changed in his absence.
They've put out episode descriptions for the season, and the last three are very sparse. They're and it seems like a three-part kind of finale.
That's what I'm thinking. It'll be the cliffhanger to go into the third.
Yeah,
I think just from the narrative structure of a 10-episode show, I'm guessing it'll be like 6.
Are they going to loop back in the Shi'ar Empire?
I mean, I hope so.
I mean, I think we're going to get Inferno, and I think we're going to get Life Death next. I think it's going to go where we are now is going to go into Life Death pretty seamlessly. I think we'll get Forge soon. I think they're forging a path.
Inferno is the to recap, Koi, is the when like hell and demons come to
Madeline Pryor magic. Okay, we just met Madeline Pryor episode
potentially.
Two. Potentially.
Potentially. You haven't seen episode three
yet? I have not seen episode three yet.
We have.
So, potentially. Okay. Yeah, so know and that then, I'm coming then, from the place you guys are at.
And then what is Life Death?
Life Death is Life Death is a two-part...
Storm-centric?
Yep, and it's Storm and Forge in the Australian Outback. It's kind of like a walkabout story. Mm. It's Storm accepting the reality of her lifestyles.
And not having powers.
Where's Maude? Yeah, it's her powerless going like, I've been a thief, I've been a goddess, I've been everything in between, I've been an X-Man, who am I? And Forge is there to help her like forge that.
And we've seen she's lost her powers temporarily.
Maybe something in episode 3?
I'm not talking about that, we know episodes coming up are named Life, Death.
Yes, right. We have all the episode titles too.
Huh? To pull helpful. Yeah. There helpful. We go.
This Motendo episode, we think, will involve a little Mojo potentially.
Okay. Fire Made Flesh is episode 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then this whole, like, and these last three, Tolerance is Extinction. I mean, that's a great place for Professor X to come back.
And you know what's great is Life Death Part 1 and 2 were a couple issues apart. They weren't back to back. So I like that.
Very cool.
In the comics, they had a couple months between. I like that we got a couple weeks here.
Remember part one, part two. It is an episode between the two Life Deaths. What is that? A Coco reference? What is
well,
that?
Well, we think it's maybe. Yes. That's Remember Me. Remember It is something Gambit often says.
Remember
He's like, the name's Gambit. Remember it.
Hell yeah.
So maybe we'll get some Gambit Magneto comeuppance.
Bright Eyes,
I'm going Cyclops there. I think that might be Cyclops dealing with, like,
you don't think
Cable
it's Planet of the Apes?
And...
I think it's Caesar's mom from Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
I think it is too. Bright Eyes.
Yeah. And then I think
it's Charlton Heston coming back.
Tolerance is Extinction.
I think that's
going to
be
from Gyrick.
Yeah,
and I think that's going to be E's for Extinction based. I think it's going to be Grant Morrison, Frank Quitely, new X-Men. I think that's going to deal with a covert Magneto storyline, not Zorn directly, but in that vein where there's like a bait and switch.
Genosha's in play.
I know they want to make Genosha.
I would say the last
Genosha?
Three.
Oh god.
The last three episodes are going to be the first six issues of E's for Extinction.
Ooh, can I tell you guys something that's not a spoiler, but it is a tease? So at this event that we went to. Me and my girlfriend, who was my plus one to this X-Men fan event, we went to a bar afterwards, and she's also friends with one of the voice actors on the show.
Okay.
She knows a few people who have been, because my girlfriend's a voice actor, and she worked with somebody on a previous show, and then that person is now Gambit, AJ Locasio, and AJ's awesome, and Gambit's his, just a side thing, Gambit's his favorite X-Men character. He dressed up like him in his 20s. There's pictures of AJ dressing up like Gambit. When these auditions for this new show came around, you're never supposed to do this as a voice actor. He only auditioned for Gambit. He didn't want anybody else. He locked in. That dude locked in, and he nailed it. So we were chatting with AJ a little bit, and then we were chatting with somebody else. I'm not going to say who may or may not be involved with the show. They were involved with the show, and they told me, they went, episode 5 is going to be a turning point. They said episode 5 might break the internet. It's going to be something that is like, and pull that
What's the name?
Remember It.
Remember It.
Is episode, right?
So Remember
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Remember It is episode 5. I'm extremely excited. Just
and
that
that's between
tease,
the Life Deaths.
That, just that tease. I was like, okay, episode 5. I'm trying to remember the exact phrasing that was used. It was like, it might be a game changer. But I think they said turning point.
Okay.
It's going to be a real turning point. And they were like, I cannot wait for episode 5.
I heard they're going to rename them from the X-Men to the Y-Men.
Mm, I like that.
Why the Last Men.
I like why that. The Last
Men. Why the Last Men.
And then Yorick's going to show up, and there will be a monkey that poops in his mouth. Ooh. And that's going to make everything okay.
Was that in the show? Movie?
And that's why Yorick didn't die, right?
That's why people are upset about Morph, because he turns into a monkey that poops in mouths.
Oh, great.
But I think the end of the show being a guaranteed season 2 is also something worth noting.
We know there's a season 2.
That's why I think Genosha. I think we're going to end on the cliffhanger of that destruction. I think that's where we go with the end. And
that's
like
go, wow.
That Loki episode, things are literally going to fade to white. And you're going to be like, what next? And you got to wait for season 2.
I think that's what's
coming.
For
them to come back and go, the mutant nation of Genosha was nuked.
They're like 16 million mutants dead.
Holy. Also, the timing of this, like this ends in what, June? And then it's a month later, so we have Deadpool. I don't think they're connected, but I do think it's a good way to go, like, remember all these characters, remember you love them, and then you can kind of get back to, like, remember them in live action.
Very cool.
Remember It.
Okay.
And then in July 10th, the new X-Men stuff in the comic starts. From the Ashes.
Yeah, right on.
So From the Ashes is one of the storylines that leads into Inferno. From the Ashes is Mohawk Storm, which we obviously are getting. It's Madeline Pryor.
What's the Celine Dion song from Deadpool 2?
From the Ashes.
No, is it from... Isn't it Ash to Ashes?
No, it's...
Because it's a cheeky, dirty joke.
Yeah.
It's a, hang on, let me pull this out.
Use that right computer in your phone.
That's good content.
So From the Ashes is an important arc in the X-Men from the Uncanny X-Men run that precedes Inferno, that in fact leads eventually to the 90s Jim Lee X-Men stuff that the first show was based off of. Right. So 1991, there's an X-Men number one, not Uncanny, just called X-Men, that kicks off this whole new era of X-Men. The yellow suits come to play. It's Jim Lee's most iconic run that is based off what the X-Men animated show turned into. But preceding that was Inferno and this From the Ashes storyline. In the show we're watching now, I think From the Ashes is going to come to play because of Madeline Pryor, because of the Mohawk Storm. But that story, there's a new one coming in July, August, and September called From the Ashes that's going to be rebooting the X-Men in the current comics post-Krakoa. So I obviously know the Phoenix, you know, element is going to be why the Ashes are used, but is that going to be referencing the stuff that the show is playing with as well as the old comics, or is it just fiery stuff? Time will tell. July 10th.
Time will tell.
The Celine Dion song was called Just Ashes.
Oh.
And but I think the lyrics in it were like, she said ash to ashes, and the joke is that it sounds like something dirty.
That's Keith awesome. David dirty. Line from Requiem.
Don't make me think about it. Don't make me think about it. Okay, yeah. Let's get on to our next question.
Okay. Let's
check out this picture of the original X-Men that we see in the show, right? This is classic. First class lineup, you know, you got Professor X, you got Beast pre his meddling with his genes, you got Angel there, you got Marvel Girl, Jean Grey, you got Cyclops, and you got Iceman when he was a cute little fluffy snow boy.
Yeah, snowman.
Who wore boots, which was like very bizarre, I guess, because they were like, well, he looks naked without the boots, I guess.
With boots, he looks so clothed.
He looks so clothed. Now, in the animated series, this isn't the team that we start the show with, right? But they were also well along it being X-Men at that point. Jubilee is our new member.
Yeah.
She's brought in. But it's referenced that both Angel and Iceman were on the X-Men at some point.
Yeah.
And then in the show, throughout the show, they run into Angel during the apocalypse thing. They don't really talk about his time. And then he gets his wings ripped off and he's all pissed.
They run into Iceman.
Then they run into Iceman later. And I think with Iceman, they say like, oh, good to see you again, Bobby. Right. How's it going?
Wasn't he on X-Factor?
Yeah, I think he like goes to X-Factor.
There's a whole nother team.
Yeah.
There's like such an established universe of stuff.
Yeah, it's like it's been going on forever. The mutants aren't new.
Well, the reason X-Factor, the comic started, was because the original five team needed a place, but they didn't want to sacrifice it. The all-new X-Men, because giant size of X-Men number one brought us Wolverine, Nightcrawler, like all the X-Men that you probably recognize as the X-Men. But that was 20 years into the run of X-Men comics. And it's funny because that actually follows the X-Men comics being reprints. There was actually about 5 years of X-Men comics that they just changed the numbers to go up, but they just showed the same comic. As a collector of X-Men, it hurts me every time I spend hundreds of dollars on the same comic again, but I'm a collector. So that led into the new X-Men, which is the Storm-based era, but they didn't want the five core team to go anywhere, so X-Factor started, and we're also getting an X-Factor comic starting in July. So I do feel like a lot of the stuff that is happening right now in X-Men 97, I don't think it'll directly correlate to the comics, but I do think it's interesting we're getting these elements that we're familiar with again.
I mean, that would be foolish to not take advantage of
the hype push.
Yeah, that's called corporate synergy. That's what that is.
People who haven't like picked up a comic book in a while be like, well, what are the old X-Men up to these days?
Yep.
Now that they've destroyed Krakoa.
It lasted so long.
No, I'm just getting around to reading it. I'm enjoying it. I'm like, oh, this is fun. It's so different. I was bummed to hear that, like, oh, it's already over. And it's like,
It started in 2019. That's 5 years.
Yeah, it's a long time.
I've been busy, Hector. What do you want from me?
It also doesn't take that long to read through, when you're really committing to it, 5 years worth of comics.
No, it's very easy to just pick up the trades from the library and just fly through it.
Love it.
Do you think we're going to see, like, Iceman or Angel show up in the series now?
Archangel in episode 2, Morph turned into Archangel.
He did turn into, the weird version. The weird version.
The apocalypse version. The blue skin with the metal wings.
But he had the he wasn't wearing the cowl, and the suit was blue and white, not the blue and.
So he stays mutated after the effect. So he's not evil anymore, but
he lets his blonde hair out and stuff.
So he's good. He was showing up as good Archangel.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think we will. I mean, listen, that great Eric Voss breakdown brought up the fact that Cable was a character who in the original show showed up in season one, Nathan Summers. And at one point in the original show, Jean Grey scanned Cable's mind and was like, what? It can't be. That's impossible. And saw a symbol for DNA. So it's like, did the original show imply that Jean Grey knew that Nathan was her biological son? Did that factor into episode 2 where Scott goes, he needs a name? And Jean goes, Nathan. Yeah. Like, it's an interesting thing. Like, and will X-Men 97 actually answer that?
Yeah.
All this to say, the people who are making this new show, I know, are combing through or have combed through those five seasons and gone, what was unresolved? Well, this never got explained. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This never got explained. Even while watching X-Men 97, I was like, wait, I'm trying to remember. Does Scott Summers know that Corsair was his father?
He does. He brings it up in the original series.
Okay, so they actually, I know that he met him, but like they had a conversation about, I'm your dad, I'm your son.
Yeah,
so it's those kinds of, and then I get mixed in with comic book knowledge, and I'm like, I am.
Because they squash the beef there, but when like, squash the beef enough.
But don't say anything. We've seen episode three.
I know, but I will say that like, in the Cable question, when Cable and Scott interact,
yes, they do.
In the original series, there's no acknowledgement of who they are, and there is a moment. Gina,
and then there's the Sinister of it all, because I know they're dealing with the Summers DNA and Sinister.
And he kidnaps Jean Grey a lot in the original
and
series.
And we're having a new Jean Grey baby pregnancy. Yeah. I'm sure Sinister wants to be involved with that birth.
There's also a moment in the original series when like Cable's going through his computer that's telling him about the X-Men, and it's like Scott Summers, and he's like, I know everything about Scott Summers. So Cable is like up on what happened.
But I would not be surprised if every single element of the original show that was not concrete, finalized, they're going to bring up. So yeah, I do believe we'll see Angel again and Iceman.
Also, I think Sinister in the show is a great way to introduce people to Sinister. That's going to be the movies. Like I can almost guarantee, like, if you look at the Spider-Man like chronology in the Sony universe, every time they were about to use a villain, then they would later on use that in the reboot. Like in the Tom Holland movies, Vulture was going to be in Spider-Man 4, Sam Raimi's. All of a sudden, he was the first character.
Yeah.
Mysterio was almost Bruce Campbell. All of a sudden, Spider-Man 2 and in our universe had him.
Hulk as well. The Eric Bana sequel was maybe going to have Abomination.
So it feels like they keep certain designs and they kept teasing Mr. Sinister in all of the stuff, including the New Mutants having a post-credit scene with Sinister. They'd cast him. John Hamm was Sinister. I would almost guarantee.
He's not in the movie.
His suitcase. He was cast.
You see an Essex Corp suitcase. There was rumors that he had done a screen test, and I think a couple years ago he did an interview. He was like, I had a conversation.
Yeah,
I didn't film anything. I didn't put on a costume.
So we were that close. I would almost guarantee instead of doing Magneto as a villain, they do something new and we get Mr. Sinister.
Interesting.
But if you do that in the animated series, it would help people like refamiliarize themselves with who he is.
Yeah. Potentially,
They were going to have a scene where Sinister was on an elevator with Scott Summers, and Scott Summers was like, I pity you. And Sinister was like, I don't think about you at all.
I don't think about you. I don't think about you at all, Scott.
Sinister in the comics is
a
so
wacky
goofy,
dude.
He's so
especially goofy. The Krakoa stuff. He's insane.
Because there's like hundreds of them. He just keeps killing himself.
He's so wacky.
So silly.
He's delicious.
He's delicious. He's silly.
Cranston wanted to play him for a long time, and I think it'd be delightful. Yeah. Cranston was lobbying for it.
I think for a live action act, let's talk about this for a second, because you mentioned John Hamm, and I was like, I like Hamm.
I don't see it. He's too charming, actually.
He's too modern. You got to have a guy who looks like he could maybe come from 1880.
Yeah.
Because Nathaniel Essex's weird, like, awesome history.
But he's to be short and malnourished? Is that what you're saying?
No. Scurvy. Just the option of scurvy.
Have that old school facial hair and the sort of, like, I know Charles Darwin, and you believe it.
I mean, Killian Murphy would be a good minister, too.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
I think so.
Yes, he would.
Book it.
Yes,
book it. We're going to talk more about our lingering questions, but first I got to talk about how much I don't stink. Because we want to thank our sponsors, Mando. Hey, do you want to smell like a zero? And for the record, zero is a good thing in this situation. Hear me out. There was a clinical study done, and men who showered with soap and used Mando whole body deodorant on their armpits had an odor score of 0 out of 10 after 12 hours, which meant no odor. Odor.
Hold the door.
So again, here, zero is good. Follow me.
Men who showered. O-D-E-R. Odor.
Odor.
You got it.
Men who showered with soap alone had an armpit odor score of 8 out of 10 after 12 hours. That's a lot more odor! Mando is clinically proven to control odor for 72 hours wherever you stink. We've been sticking to armpits, but it works on like your feet, your nether regions, anywhere you want to smell better. Use a little Mando. Make the switch to Mando whole body deodorant and smell like a zero every day. Mando's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, 2 free products of your choice, like a mini body wash and deodorant wipes, plus free shipping. As a special offer for our audience, new customers get $5 off a Mando starter pack with code BREAKROOM at shopmando.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit shopmando.com and use code BREAKROOM. Again, that's shopmando.com. Please use code break room.
I just want to say that Zach has been using Mando, and all week he's been asking not shut to up smell about him.
Yeah.
And we say, Zach, you smell like a zero. We know.
He had a meeting with HR because he won't stop making us smell.
Wow. Him. Also, I like how producer Evan is at a different frame rate.
Yeah, he's got a super cool. High def. Yeah.
This camera really loves the
It's like
we spent a lot of money rendering the graphics behind him.
This is X-Men 1992 over here?
Yeah.
This is X-Men 97. You know what I'm saying? Like, cut back to him. It's like,
even like the frame is a little punched in, like X-Men 92. Like, he's
really. I feel like I'm watching Avatar Way of Water where the frame rate keeps changing.
And they come back to us, X-Men 97.
Apologies to James Cameron. Hey, folks, Easter is right around the corner. Whether you like it or not, it's coming. And the only thing better than Easter eggs are Easter eggs filled with jelly beans. Ooh, delicious cute. Jelly beans from Jelly Bean Planet. We've just received a transmission from Jelly Bean Planet, and they've promised to bring us delicious jelly beans as long as we stay within the bounds of the Galactic Treaty. They have tons of container sizes, like this 8-ounce triangular box. They got 42.5 ounces. They got the Papa Bean, where you get a mystery bean. It pops right up. Boom, boom, boom. That one's for Hank.
It's a mystery.
That one's for Hank. Here we go. We love eating the jelly beans from Jelly Bean Planet. They've got all natural flavors. They have plant-based colors. No GMO, no gelatin, no gluten, no palm oil, and no odor, frankly. Go to our exclusive link below and use code 15NWROCKSTAR. To get 15% off a 42.5-ounce jar of Jelly Bean Planet jelly beans today.
Let's get back to some of these questions. Thanks, Jelly Bean Planet. Let's get back to some of these questions.
Oh, yeah. Evan, so give us some questions.
We have a bunch of questions that I collected over Instagram. You can follow us at BrakeroomNR.
How do you get a question from Instagram?
Oh, Brandon, there's so many things I need to teach you. A comment. And we have some chat questions today that I've been collecting. But before we do that, I want to shout out some people who were subbing throughout the conversation. Nacho Gaming 20, thank you for the 10 months.
Thank you. 10 months? I got to do this show for 10 more months?
No, they did some for 10 months.
Oh.
Yeah, that part is
even sadder. Oh, you've been doing this show for 10 months.
Oh, gosh. I could add a baby.
About a baby.
I don't want a baby.
EvenH95 says, it's my 5-month anniversary, but I've been a follower since the inception of the break room 2 years ago.
Oh, happy anniversary. Hector, where did you get them?
And their child is 7 months old today.
Oh, happy birthday.
We got you some
jelly. We got you a Jelly Bean Planet sponsorship.
Yeah. How this is about the weight of a child.
Yeah. And thank you, Eliza Dante, for subbing, and Yuka Pieta for subbing as well.
Yeah, thank you. Yuka Pieta?
Yeah.
I haven't heard. That's a name I've not heard in some time.
Yeah. Hey.
That's an old school. That's an old school fan
Instagram
right there.
Instagram question, Evan?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So let's see. And some people sometimes are like, Evan, why do you rephrase my questions?
Ooh.
Sometimes I rephrase it so it's a little bit clearer, but sometimes we've already talked about it on the show. So things have changed. Sometimes it's another question in a question. It's kind of like a Russian nesting doll.
Sometimes we get a lot of the same question and we lump them all together.
Okay.
Sometimes you think that Storm's using ice and not turning sand into glass.
So we change it for your benefit.
So we have to change it.
Sometimes your grammar's shit. Sorry, yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
Sorry, dog.
All right, so I've included some of the questions in the prompt.
Okay, here we go.
Okay,
I'll do it. Christian Unpronounceable asks, what's your theory on how Magneto and Rogue can touch?
Didn't he explain this? What's a comic book explanation for it?
Basically, he can, like, keep a barrier between them enough. There's a, the magnetic waves.
Is he using like static electricity? Is that little
slight barrier? The thing that causes the touch to actually steal, there's a slight condom.
But it still feels like a touch to Rogue.
Yeah, to Rogue. She still gets that. The electrical impulse. Like we feel by touch, by electrical impulses. Mm-hmm. So he's able to give her all those impulses.
And he can shield his skin. So
it's like how there's always space between you? You can never have two things fully touching. The atoms are always separated.
There you go.
That's what I think. That's how I interpret it.
Okay. That makes sense. I had to assume it was because something to do with his powers.
Electrical impulses is how you'd feel, so you don't have a barrier. Yeah.
We talked about it on the show, but when do you think they hooked up before?
Well, 96.
Season
finale?
Pre-92,
you
because
she was bad.
Rogue's foster mother, Mystique.
Right. I remember all that.
And I feel like even within the 90s show, Mystique and Magneto may have even had it. Again, the movies
they did,
start
Yeah, the movies in, really mix it up. But Magneto really wasn't running with the Brotherhood back then.
Right.
When Rogue was there with
But there were Mystique. Years he was separated from Charles.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying is that in those years,
You don't think it happened in the, maybe there's a funeral and they were talking.
No. I mean, maybe that rekindled something.
Yeah.
I think once Rogue joined the X-Men, she was an X-Men. She wouldn't have done that. But I think when Rogue was being raised by Mystique,
right.
She's intrigued by a little bit of the light.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know at what age Rogue joins this iteration of the X-Men. Yeah. I don't believe.
I can't remember.
Maybe. I don't think it was while she was still a teenager, but maybe I'm wrong on that.
We'll have to see what the show does, right?
Yeah.
They'll explain it
to like definitively answer.
Maybe it was happened during fights, you know, like a fight would end and Rogue.
But it's already all hot and bothered, excited.
A letter in the mail, because I guess there's email. It's 1997. There's early DARPAnet and stuff like that.
There's like Mission Impossible 1 style.
Yeah. There's Ask Jeeves era.
Yeah.
It's like the net with
GeoCities message board.
It would be great if they do a scene where like Cerebro logs into the internet and we hear like, like this long.
Scott, get off the phone. I'm trying to use Cerebro. Evan, you don't get that joke.
Evan,
I get it. No,
you grew up with T1.
I have a very vivid memory of me playing the Bionicle computer game, to call my friend for tips.
You dated yourself.
We were also like trying to use AIM at the same time. It was very odd.
Lego
very
Bionicle.
Anyways, people asking Alex Reyes and Aunt Zelda, Magneto or Gambit? A lot of people.
Oh, Gambit all day. Gambit.
No, for Magneto Rogue? All day.
I think for Rogue, for yourself, a lot of people.
For me, Magneto.
On Gambit's appearance in this.
Well, that's it. I mean, if you're comparing Magneto and Gambit, the Venn diagram there in the middle is Rogue.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
it's weird and random to be like Magneto as a character, Gambit as a character. Who's your? Why are you? Talking
they've
about
both
those
killed.
Two? Yeah,
they both look good in purple.
Yeah, but for Rogue,
Gambit's too clingy. He's like always on Rogue's.
Are you kidding me?
Stuff.
He loves all women. He just found his true love in her.
I think Gambit was more than happy to be in the friend zone. Like, if Rogue is like,
he's
he's like, I'll be here. I'm fine. I'll wait. I don't know.
He's always pressuring her. He's always pressuring her.
Well,
Piss.
In season one, he kind of did of the original show, 1992. Yeah. He was borderline inappropriate.
Yeah,
but he backed off, I feel like.
I think Gambit is more the guy that does kind of what he believes is right, whereas Magneto is more of like, I'm going to convince you things are my way.
Yeah.
And I just don't mess with Jehovah's Witnesses. Like, I don't like people that matter. So I feel like Gambit's more like laissez-faire, and Magneto's a doorknocker.
I mean, how appropriate to use a French term.
Right? Yeah. LeBeau.
Yeah.
He does come from a family of thieves.
And New Orleans, there's just like a flow about him. I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to go Gambit.
You can't just eat beignets for breakfast. That's what's bugging me. It's not healthy. You're not going to keep those abs that way,
still
buddy.
Keep those abs.
And then you keep that belly shirt. Yeah. He's doing
Someone's
it right.
lying.
He's
Someone's lying.
Yeah.
Hey, oh, I'm
Maybe when he kinetically charges, it uses calories.
Yeah. I made beignets out of protein powder.
Turning calories.
No
He's
calories.
Like beignets.
Nope.
Beignets.
Nope. Great.
Delicious. Frost Iceman got there. Frost Iceman 97. Is this Bobby Drake?
Yeah.
Is asking, do you think the series will also showcase current X-Men stories we have seen today, such as Krakoa? If you watched, I didn't mean to sound so sassy there. If you check out Eric's breakdown of the first two episodes, he was able to interview supervising producer Jake Casarena.
Castaneda, I think.
Casarena.
Yeah,
Jake Casarena. Anyways, Eric Voss was able to interview supervising producer Jake Casarena, and he hinted at the use of recent comic stories. Because he was saying, like, you know, in the 90s, they were definitely pulling from, like, stuff that was going on right then.
Yeah.
Also, a key member of the Krakoa ability to exist was referenced in the first
episode. Yes, they referenced Egg.
Gold Balls.
Who makes the Gold Balls.
Gold Balls. Yeah, he goes by Gold Balls before he's Egg, and that's the best mutant name ever.
I think we were missing a T in
I thought it was a T.
Yeah, Jake.
Castorena.
Castorena.
He's also the head director. I interviewed him too.
Thank you. Thank you for correcting me.
You see, we didn't have the confidence. We were like, hey,
let's check it.
I'm not going to comment, so
maybe I don't know the guy's name. I shouldn't correct you.
I just read what I see on the screen.
Yeah.
That's Ron Burgundy? Fair. But he was saying, he kind of hinted that they could get into some more recent storylines.
Krakoa feels like it might be too far. That might be like X-Men 97 season 2 or 3 thing.
Well, there is, you know.
New X-Men, I like that.
I think Genosha happens now. I think season 2, they're looking for a place while the world hates and fears them.
Could
maybe
be Krakoa.
Season 3's Krakoa.
There you go.
Because while Sunspot was a character created, like, I believe in the 80s.
Yes.
He's more famous in this more recent run of, like, New Mutants, right? As, like, a new younger guy.
I mean, he was in the New Mutants movie that everyone saw.
Right. Everyone saw it. But that character has been used a lot in, I believe, is currently in New Mutants comics.
Yeah, and currently he's got a little bit more clout. They leverage the money. There's more of that Tony Stark element of, like, his political power and his financial power helps the New Mutants.
Yeah, really.
And
rich.
I think in episode 3, Morph takes the form of a character that is a little more recent. So I think you're going to see more of that happening in the show. Okay. And I think they are willing to bring in some more modern comic storylines.
That was a good tease.
Thank you. Eric was even thinking that, like, maybe Cassandra Nova, if that is a villain in Deadpool 3, a good way to kind of
like what I was saying with Mr. Sinister. You just remind people and then it plants
so,
a seed.
So we'll have to wait and see. So hopefully maybe there is some more.
And what an interesting way to bring Xavier back than by his own, like, in-utero punching twin sister.
That's right.
It's my favorite frame in comics. Yeah,
now,
wild.
It is a wild frame. Comics are wild.
My favorite frame in all of comics is Spider-Man lifting in Amazing Spider-Man 33, The Last Steve Ditko. My second favorite is In Utero and Twin Punching.
Okay.
It's a good one.
That's the range of comics. That's how far comics can go.
that's the range they got. I hope they do. I mean, I would love some subterfuge. Like, I don't always love when these shows follow the comics exactly. And you know what's going to happen. I'd love to be surprised. So we'll see. And they already do make changes from how some storylines have played out. And, like, the original animated series.
Yep.
So I think they're going to keep doing
issue that. Episode 2 was so good at doing Uncanny X-Men issue 200, The Trial of Magneto, but in a new context.
Right.
And looping in Executioner, which, like, doesn't directly correlate. Like, they were able to do, like, now that's what I call this storyline. And it worked. And, like, I love the sassy visuals of those sleeves.
I like the original, and I love the remix, folks. Brian Pimental asked, what non-X-Men characters do you think we'll see?
Spider-Man.
This is exciting.
Spider-Man.
They're going to do it?
Absolutely think. And then the voice actor who played Peter Parker in the 90s show, he's still with us, right?
Yeah,
he's still,
I believe so.
I feel like if they're not going to get him to come back, they will find a perfect voice match the way they have for some of the cast of X-Men 97. I think that at the end of the episode, we're going to see this guy right there, or end of the season, rather, some sort of like visual cameo with a voice to really feel the presence versus the Spider-Man cameo that was in the original show, which was almost just a hand.
Yeah, literally.
Really,
like,
fun, really quick
cameo.
To slip by a studio network executive that would be like, oh, do we have the rights to that? They do now. They've got it all.
It's, and a lot of times they were making, the animators made references on the show, like Deadpool or Punisher or things. They didn't ask. They were just doing it because, like, no one was really worried about it yet.
Speaking of Keith David. He was Black Panther in the Fantastic Four.
Really cool. Oh, that's awesome. Man, that
Before he went Ash to Ash.
Goliath,
But there are rumors out there that, like, the next they're gonna announce
a show,
the reboot of the Spider-Man. The
I think you
series.
Announce it with the finale.
Yeah. Now in the Spider-Man animated series, they had a crossover with the X-Men that was like much more. Hi, I'm a mutant. I'm not a mutant, but nice to meet you. When Spider-Man started mutating, he went to go ask the X-Men for help,
leading to the Madame Web Spider-Verse stuff.
Right. So I think you could totally see that here. We had a name cameo on the Daily Bugle that went by, and it said Spider-Man, and there was another article by Eddie Brock. Now, Spider-Man wasn't hyphenated, which was very funny because J. Jonah would not bother to put in an extra character.
He would be that respectful.
He would be like, nah, I'm not doing that. Yeah. So I think we will see that. I mean, I would love to see, like, a Fantastic Four cameo. I would love to see anything they recently acquired show up. Daredevil.
I would even love for them to find a way to, because I think in the 90s, it's called the Marvel Animated Universe.
Mm-hmm.
I think technically the Avengers, like United We Stand or some weird show from the late 90s.
It's connected.
Was looped into that.
There was an Iron Man series.
There
was a Silver Surfer series from the 90s.
That Avengers show had the wildest lineup of characters. It was like Goliath and Wasp, but she was mutated. And like the most insane, like Heroes Reborn era of Marvel Comics Avengers. I would love for them to even have to factor that in and just like make it good.
Okay.
Like if they're going to use that larger Marvel Universe concept, the end of the Spider-Man show was a cliffhanger where Mary Jane Watson fell through a portal and then Peter Parker never found her because they tried to do the Gwen Stacy bridge death but with MJ, but then they didn't want her to die.
So then they
left it where she's falling forever.
Yeah.
And
do you know
never
where I think
finds
that
her? And then it went to Spider-Man Unlimited, the weird future Batman Beyond show, which was still part of the continuity. I'm like, y'all brilliant writers of X-Men 97, loop all of that in.
I think that gets solved somewhere else.
Where?
Beyond the Spider-Verse.
Could be.
I've been thinking from the beginning.
Mary Jane Watson shows up.
I think Mary Jane lands after falling
and
Beyond the Spider-Verse.
And then
I think
that
we get animated. The voice actor of that animated, I literally think
it was,
the Lord and Miller have been waiting for that delivery for
It
us.
Was weird that of all the cameos they had in that movie, they did not.
I think that's right. Because you got to hold something.
They had Spectacular Spider-Man.
Yeah,
they had
which people
Spider-Man.
Were very excited about.
So stoked.
Yeah, Yuri's in it for a line. I think the third one is going to be voice actor heavy.
A little bit more. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I would love to see some great cameos in this show. I think it's the perfect opportunity.
Especially because the Fantastic Four, they could do Franklin Richards, and there's a real connection with the mutants and the X-Men.
Oh, yeah, that's really fun.
All the other Marvel stuff, I'm more thinking of just sort of world building.
Right.
I don't need them to like pivot and be like, let's do an adventure with the Hulk. It's like, there's no real reason. Yeah. Sometimes the X-Men and the Hulk don't need to
interact.
Yeah.
But if it's appropriate for like a story that will impact the X-Men.
Especially if Franklin is going to be in the Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah.
I think it'd be smart to, I think he's in the first one. I think we're going to get, because they've been really leaning into the parent. Like, think about Phase 4. Everyone's a parent.
Sure.
What's Marvel's first family without a family? Like, I think we're going to have Franklin now just
Herbie's
narrowly.
Their baby.
So, I think we have Franklin young enough that he doesn't have his omnipresent powers, but I think it'd be really smart to introduce audiences to the idea of Franklin first. So I can see him in the X-Men.
Could be.
All right.
We got a lot of questions.
Go.
Okay.
Not a lot of time. So we'll keep some answers a little bit quicker here.
Okay.
Some people are asking questions about like whether or not you think it's going to pursue certain storylines this series. Null and Void, do you think the show is leading into the Age of Apocalypse timeline?
Not now.
Okay. No, because they kind of did that in the original show a little bit. So I'm going to say no. And in fact, I think that was the thing where Storm and Wolverine were a couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. They went to the future. Yeah.
Super cool. I'd like to see them bring that.
And they sacrificed themselves. They were like, we won't be together anymore.
Yeah, they did some Days of Future Past mixed apocalypse stuff.
Next question.
Astro Mac asking, do you think we'll get the Rogue and Magneto love child storyline?
Oh.
I don't think they'll go that far. I do know that that is a weird cult favorite in the comic books.
Wasn't it that she had a kid with a clone of Magneto named Joseph?
It was Joseph.
He was the young, long, flowy-haired
version of him. Also, Joseph just came back in the comics, so he is currently relevant. Joseph, him and Wanda had a little adventure where Wanda got closure about like the non-father her clone. So Wanda, are you reading the Scarlet Witch comic right now?
No.
So Scarlet Witch basically has her own shop with Darcy. Darcy's actually in the comics.
Right, she Darcy got Lewis.
And so Darcy Lewis runs the shop, and Wanda basically has this door that anyone that has nowhere else to go comes through, and she helps them solve problems. So it's kind of like Doctor Who-esque. And Joseph comes through, and he has no idea who he is, and he has no idea how he got there, and it's Wanda getting closure about Magneto, who's not her father in current continuity, which I think is ridiculous. But Joseph doesn't even know who he is, and they get to have a relationship as if they were a young father and daughter.
Some writer will come along and retcon that.
I would like that.
Yeah.
Because I think Quicksilver, Scarlet,
Wanda, and Pietro are...
That's like so oldly established. Like, don't. Yeah.
And there's no reason not to, except for the use of word mutant in the movies, which they can now use.
Yes.
I think they retconned it for the Miracle Children story, and now you don't have to re-retcon.
Yeah,
exactly. Versus like Nightcrawler's retcon. I'm like, that makes sense. I was fine with that.
We never knew his parents, and it also, look at how blue they all are.
Exactly.
Look at that blueness.
Look at the blue.
Exactly. Yeah. Next question.
That's like when they go on Maury Povich and they're like, this baby's blue.
Come on.
He's blue.
That's your mother.
She's blue. Yeah.
It's right there.
Azazel, you are not the father. He gets up like,
goes back to hell.
Sponsored by the Yee asks, will we see Deadpool in this series?
Are we allowed to say that name?
What?
Is it sponsored by the Yee or sponsored by the Yay?
I think it's the Yee.
Oh, okay.
Sponsored by the Yee.
I don't think we get Deadpool.
He cameoed one frame, I believe.
One frame morph turned into into.
It was a.
It wasn't morph.
A Gambit's memory, right?
No, Weapon X flashback. Wolverine's memory.
We also
saw like Maverick. We also saw like other like Weapon X characters.
I just don't think because of like I think Ryan really wants to have the narrative on what Deadpool is.
Yeah, it'd be a little messy now. So, I think after whatever happens in Deadpool, Wolverine,
then in this
season two.
So maybe this shows season 2 or 3. But again, maybe just a cameo. It doesn't have to be a full Deadpool-centric episode or like a Weapon X flashback or anything like that.
People get excited.
Here's the deal. Marvel Studios has Ryan Reynolds on call.
Well,
what a get would that be, right?
I would think
to voice for a line or two.
Well, even that, I think like if season one ends, to be continued in season two, it scrolls out at the TV set and it's live action Deadpool being like,
I gotta wait
another year for this shit or something like that.
That could be cute.
Like,
that could be really
that could be
cute.
Very cute.
I mean, well, the marketing has been very fourth wall breaking with the VHSs.
I'm not mad at that.
And you get a stuntman in the suit, you get Ryan's voice.
At the end of the day, the biggest piece of pop culture cancellation I've ever cared about is Donald Glover's Deadpool show. If this show can be big enough that we get Donald's Deadpool back,
that'd be dope.
Everything's
What happened?
Evan's so young, he doesn't know about that.
Dude, literally, Donald Glover had a Deadpool show that got greenlit. They had hired animators. It was going to be literally animated in LA, like Titmouse and a bunch of teams that I knew were were going to be working on it. And then it got canceled. The day it got canceled, there was a leaked script, and it was all that day's news, i.e. Don Glover wrote a better 3 pages of Deadpool that day than I'd read from comics in like 10 years.
Oh my
God. It's like Pusain, Duggan level good. It's like, it's Deadpool, and Donald Glover is the internet, and Deadpool is the internet. It would have been like a match made in heaven.
What happens first? Donald Glover's Deadpool or Donald Glover's...
Prowler movie.
Prowler movie?
Oh.
Or...
Hypno Hustler.
Hypno Hustler's a fake name.
It was definitely a fake name for Prowler.
Or The Lando Show.
Oh. Ooh,
it's a movie.
Which is now a movie.
It's a movie.
It will never happen. You can call it a show, you can call it a movie, it'll never happen.
Honestly?
That's never happening.
I think the thing that might happen first might be the
Lando movie. Or Patty Jenkins' Rogue Squadron movie.
It might be the Lando movie.
You think so? I don't think it'll ever happen.
I think he's in Beyond the Spider-Verse, but I don't think that much. And I think that might be a spinoff into the Hypno Hustler, which is Prowler, but I think Lando's moving. They seem to be focused on
He will be Prowler before he's Lando again or...
Stephen Glover writing it with him, though? I feel like that's a lot of movement. Nah.
And I think Prowler, if it's in the hands of, no offense, if it's in the hands of Sony, but not Sony Animation.
It'll be a Sony Marvel joint, I think.
That's what I'm saying. If it's a Marvel Studios Prowler movie, well, that's just a live-action Miles Morales.
It's not, it's not a Prowler movie. It's a movie Prowler.
Featuring him. Then even that, it's like, that feels
that's still
so
a Miles. Yeah.
And that feels like, that might be after
miles
Secret Wars.
Away.
That might be after Tom Holland is like, 30, 35, 40. Sure. Like, yeah. I don't know when an MCU Miles.
That still happens before.
And would mid-50s Donald Glover want to play Prowler then?
No, then he's going to be playing Lando as a 50-year-old man.
Yeah, that's
he
the
will
thing.
Be just Lando now.
That's the other thing is that there is weirdly a visible time frame, a ticking time bomb with Donald Glover playing this character because it's
he
like
becomes the Empire Strikes Back.
They can't get close enough to that.
He can't be older than Lando.
The same with young Han.
Yeah.
Like these guys still look closer to how they looked in this Solo movie. I think the temptation is, listen, Lucasfilm made a Willow series.
Yeah.
They will make stuff that they're interested in making. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that for the past couple years we've been hearing like, oh, they really refocused after Solo. Like that really knocked them for a loop. I don't buy that. I think that they have too many good elements in something like that to want to put out a movie starring Donald Glover that is including Star Wars-y elements, but maybe doesn't market you as with Han Solo because maybe he is or isn't in it, and still being then able to tie in some other stuff, whether it's like Andor stuff or like I think right now Lucasfilm and Marvel Studios are I think Marvel Studios was already originally planning this. Their TV shows are going to loop into the movies, meaning they made Moon Knight with the intention of having Oscar Isaac Moon Knight in a movie. 100%. They made She-Hulk with the intention of having She-Hulk in a movie. I think Lucasfilm didn't quite do that, but I think now they're looking at stuff and they're like, dude, we're spending so much money on these shows. The subscriber numbers aren't going up on Disney Plus. Star Wars fans have already subscribed. Let's use TV shows for projects that are like The Acolyte. That are like new and interesting or continuations of animated shows or continuations of established things like Ewan getting his Obi-Wan show.
Yeah.
Because maybe it wouldn't be feasible to do an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie because that might be a weird, confusing, like, okay, is this episode 3.5? Is this episode, you know, but to do a TV show kind of wraps things up. Then now I think what's happening with The Acolyte, I feel like we're going to see characters from that era end up in a movie. The Mandalorian's going to turn into a series finale the movie because when you put a movie in theaters, you can make millions of dollars off of that.
And I'm glad they finally realized that streaming isn't profitable.
Right.
It was about numbers, which don't translate to dollars. Movies translate to dollars more.
Yes.
So they need to get focused on maybe using TV as backdoor pilots or retroactively getting people to go back to the shows like X-Men 97 is.
Yes.
I think maybe using Lando to get people to go back and watch Rogue, I mean Solo, might be more likely.
Right.
On Disney
so you're saying a Lando TV show?
No, I'm saying a Lando movie might get people to go watch Solo.
That's what I'm saying. And whatever elements, because there are still things from that Solo movie that were like not wrapped up. I think some of that, what's the actress's name from Game of Thrones who was in Solo, who was in Secret
Amelia
Invasion?
Clark.
Amelia Clark's character, I think they ended up wrapping out some of that stuff in comics.
She was supposed to, she goes into
the Darth Maul.
Yeah, the Rise and Dawn of the Darth Maul.
I think Lando should be Darth Maul's story. You can make Lando the sequel to Solo.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I agree. That's what it's going to be. So I feel like with all of that in mind, a Lando movie could happen before a Sony produced. Yeah, we know where to plug in the Prowler movie. You guys aren't.
That's why Armor Wars became a movie, not a show.
This is the same thing. Your X-Men 97.
Iron Man 4 became Iron Man 4 in theaters versus Armor Wars the show.
Right. I agree.
Great.
Just to wrap up this kind of cameo and MCU question, Yuka Prieta asks, as well as some other people, do you think they could introduce a new character that would be translated to live action you know, why now? Do you think any of the animated characters that we do see could move to live action at all?
I love the Mr. Sinister idea.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be that version of the character, but I think the character as an IP. Mr. Sinister, Cassandra Nova, certain characters that we'll see later,
Yeah.
I think that What If character from the Native American storyline, I feel like Kohori, we are going to see her in live action at some point. But I don't think that anything in X-Men 97... with all of the characters they have access to, why would they like create a new character, for example, a new original character?
Oh, like an OG
character. Yeah, yeah, I don't think it's a new character. I think it would be bringing someone in the medium for the first time.
Yeah, yes, for sure. I could see that.
I mean, they're already setting up the Jubilee trilogy with having Jubilee back on this show, which I think is very exciting.
Yeah.
Getting people hyped up for Jubilee. Let's have her fight someone, please.
I'd watch it.
Richard Linklater's Adventures in a Mall with Jubilee.
Yeah.
So any other?
Bring back the Juggernaut. Let's have Jubilee fight the Juggernaut.
Oh, the Juggernaut will show back up on the show. He's like, where's my brother, my stepbrother?
A lot of questions. Sorry we didn't get to everything today. I do want to end with this one from OAM Music. How would Hector and Brandon's Southern lawyers have defended Magneto to the UN?
Oh, okay.
Hector's so pissed at me.
Technically, when we were doing this, I was a congressman.
Yeah, be a
just
congressman
for the record.
Then. You want to be that like Southern sounding?
I did like Lindsey Graham that was on the thing. Well, we're just here to handle this court. Now, Mr. Eric Lynch, aka Magnus, sometimes I do believe y'all called. Do I have any metal on me right now, good sir? Can you sense any metal in this room?
Ladies and gentlemen of the court, we like to call a surprise witness to the stand of Mr. Joseph, who is the clone of my client, Magnus, a.k.a. Eric Lynch, a.k.a. Max Eisenhardt, a.k.a. Magneto.
Magneto, is it true or untrue that you are the father of a one Mr. Wanda Maximoff and a one Mr. Pietro Maximoff?
Objection, Your Honor. That's hearsay, speculation, and I'm just a simple country lawyer. I don't know anything about passing on mutant genes. These characters with their superpowers, Polaris... What, just because she can control metal, she must be the daughter of my client?
Yeah.
That's racist.
I'm pretty good at pickleball, but none of my children have inherited my pickleball abilities.
That's
not how science
works. That's very true.
Just because I am good at pickleball does not mean I pass it on to my children.
Your Honor, my client, Magneto, is just a simple silver-haired daddy. He is not a eco-terrorist or some sort of supremacist. Your Honor, I don't even know what the word supremacist means. Magneto just likes to put on arm-length gloves.
The man has an M on his chest.
An M. That's, what do you think that means?
Is it for Magneto?
No.
Is it for mutant?
No.
Manly.
It stands for manly. Sustained, exactly.
Manly.
Your Honor, we rest our case.
Perfect. Well, that's it for us today.
In the middle of.
It's a great coin.
Manly.
It's like being attacked by a cougar. Just get really still. Sustained. Hopefully it won't see you. That's it for us today. Make sure to subscribe to the Break Room channel right here on YouTube. And give us a follow on Twitch, where we do these videos live. And you can see that there is never any edits made. And we do it perfect.
We had a great conversation on Twitch before we got to YouTube.
Maybe you guys got to see it. Who knows?
Who knows? Would anyone like to plug their social channels? I'll offer that up to you today.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm on the internet at Hector is Funny. Check me out at Hector is Funny. Thank you.
Perfect.
I'm at my name, Koi Jandro, everywhere. Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all the places. Find me. Comics. I love comics.
He loves comics.
Loves them.
And don't forget to follow at Breakroom NR on Instagram, Twitter, X, and Threads.
I'm on there. Michelson's on there.
Oh, Threads I'm fine with. It was the X.
Oh, I gotcha. I was gonna say, okay, great.
Still just not over that.
Next time, just don't say it.
You just said it with such
pain. We'll catch you next time. Late as gate as bye.
Thanks for listening. You can check out our Breakroom live streams at Breakroom NR on Twitch at 3 p.m. Pacific. And don't forget to subscribe on YouTube.